So you saw Bryant, our new worship guy. It's Bryant with a T. Yeah, I'm Brian, no T. So we've already had some confusion with this that I have to share with you. Bryant, his office is up on our third floor. It's a really, really big room, and so sometimes they use it. One of our choir, our kids' choir, will use that. It's kind of his office, and they use it sometimes on Sunday morning. So this last week, I got a call from the lady who runs that children's choir thing, and she calls me and says, hey, can we use your office for the choir thing and that? And I'm thinking, wait, my office is like really small. It's in here. It's right there. Did Rob move my office like while not telling me? And so I'm starting to freak out because I forgot his name was Bryant with a T. So I'm sitting there listening to the message, and I'm just like, man, he moved my office. I'm going to be all the way up on the third floor now, up there by myself. And so finally, I kind of realized that it was Bryant, our new guy who's leading worship. That's his office. So I gave Rob a hard time. So he's on vacation this week. So anyone available, I thought we could move his office while he's gone. We can just kind of move everything over somewhere else. If any of you want to help me with that later, you're not doing anything. I'm excited to be able to share with you in our new series that we're starting here on loving our cities. And this is a big passion of mine and something that I get the privilege of being able to do day in and day out as part of my job here at the church as our Reach pastor. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you knew that that was exactly where you were supposed to be in that moment? You were there, maybe you were reluctant at first to kind of go and be there, but then you got there and you were just in the moment and you realized, you know what, this is where I'm supposed to be right now. Sure, we may be having those times where we're sitting on a beautiful beach or up in the mountains and you're just like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be. And we all need those relaxing times, but I'm talking about maybe a more stretching time where you're put in this situation and you're like kind of reluctant, you're thinking about all the other things that you have to do or the other places that you could be, and then all of a sudden it kind of hits you and something happens and you're like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be in this moment. That happened to me recently this last year at our vacation Bible school. So the past few years, I've told Pastor Cherie, I just said, hey, I'm available, let me know where you want me to go, if you need me for anything. Just put me kind of wherever for vacation Bible school. So the first year, I don't know if she took me seriously or not, but I just kind of floated around and I just felt like I wasn't much help, but I was just kind of there talking to people and welcoming people and that. The next year, she put me in the kid vid station. This is one of the rotations that the kids do, and they have a little video and you ask them some questions. And so I felt like, okay, I'm being a little more productive. I'm helping out. This is good. And it was a good time. Well, this year, this past year, we just had our vacation Bible school last month. This was a stretch for me. She put me with the second graders in the crew, the blue crew, any blue crew people out there. And we had about 80 second graders that we were to kind of police and hang out with and take them to all the different stations. Well, this was kind of a big stretch for me, and I kept thinking, you know, there's a lot of other things I could be doing. I got some stuff in my office that I need to take care of, some things I can do. And then on Tuesday, it kind of hit me. As I started hanging out with the kids a little bit on Monday and Tuesday, I started talking with some of them. And I knew at that day, this is what God has for me this week. This is where I'm supposed to be. And kind of all the other stuff just kind of went to the side a little bit. There were several kids that I was able to talk with and pray with that week. And one of them, a little girl who was in the foster care system, and her foster mom was bringing her to vacation Bible school each week. And so on Wednesday, that day, she showed up late, and the foster mom told me she's in a really bad mood today, she's not doing well, she has to meet with her biological mom later this afternoon. She doesn't want to go, she doesn't want to do it. And so I was able to spend some kind of time with her that day and pray with her, and lo and behold, the theme of that day was God is with you wherever you go. And so I was able to share that with her and talk with her and pray with her and then kind of hear her story the next day. And it was one of those weeks where I knew there was other things I could be doing, but that was where God had me to be that week. And it was a powerful week for me in God working on my heart in that. This morning, I want us to look at a couple different things. As I said, we're starting this new series on loving our cities? And what does it mean for us as a church to be the body of Christ and to reach out and to help those in need around us and to meet those needs and to share God's love and the message that God has for those that we come in contact with? See, God strategically placed you and I in this church and in this community for a purpose, to reach out, and his desire is to use us to share his love with those we come in contact with. And so this morning, I want to start by looking at what it means for us to have eyes to see our community and our world as God sees. And how do we meet those needs around us? And then I want to share with us some stories of what God is currently doing through some of our ministries here at the church. And so there's a lot of things that we have going on here that maybe some of you have no idea that we do these things as a church. And so I want to share what God is already currently doing this morning with you. And so I think first, when it comes to loving our community, we need to learn to see our community as God sees our community. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to kind of just go through life with the blinders on and just kind of go through the motions of life. I have a lot of weekly routines that I do on certain days and things that I need to get done on certain days. But have you ever driven somewhere and you get there and then you ask yourself, how did I even get here? Like, you're just driving and all of a sudden you arrive and you don't think about, like, did I stop at that light back there? Or, you know, did I run anyone over on the way here? You're just kind of in that zone, right? And you're just going through life and kind of going through the motions. Well, each Monday I do a pickup of food for our food bank over at Albertsons. And so I have this routine where every Monday I come, I load up crates from our food bank over there, and I drive down to Albertsons, I load up the food, I drive back, I weigh the food, I put the food away, I go into my office, I log how much food I have. It's just kind of this routine that I do pretty much each Monday. And I don't even sometimes think about what is going on during that time or why I'm even doing what I'm doing. And so lately I've been trying to just kind of pause and think about during that time and pray during that time as I'm driving there, God, I pray that we get good quality food for our clients that come to the food bank. And as I'm bringing the food back, God, I pray that this food will help those that we serve this week at our food bank. And so just trying to be more aware and more present in those moments. And a couple months ago, as I was loading my car, in one of those times where I was just kind of in the zone, I noticed off to my side this young kind of 18-year-old maybe kid who's on a bike, and he's just kind of looking at me unloading all this food. I don't know if he thought I was stealing it or what, but he's looking at me as I'm loading my car with all this food. And I said, hey, are you need anything? Are you all right? And he shared with me that he was homeless and just kind of hungry and waiting to kind of scrounge around to see what he can get. And so I was able to give him some of the food that I had. We get these deli sandwiches. I gave him some sandwiches and began to talk with him. And I said, hey, I'm here pretty much every Monday. If you're around, just stop by and come and see me. And so if I hadn't done that, you know, I just kind of would have been in that zone, just not even noticing the surroundings around me. And so the first thing for us is, when it comes to loving our community, is to have eyes to see as God sees. And then also to realize that God is already at work in our community. God is already at work in our community. Oftentimes, I think for us, we think that we are bringing God into a situation. When we go somewhere, we think, okay, I'm going to bring God into this city. I'm going to bring God into this village, into this community. But the reality is that God is already there, and God is already at work in the lives of the people there. We just need to be open to what he is doing. Henry Blackaby, a great author, wrote a book called Experiencing God, and he talks about this concept of God is already at work, and we just need to join him in what he's doing. And he says this quote, he says, we don't choose what we will do for God. He invites us to join him where he wants to involve us. So one of the organizations that we support here is a ministry in Fullerton called Solidarity. And it was started about 16 years ago by some friends of mine from college. And they had this idea, as, you know, 18, 19-year-old kids, to go into one of the toughest areas here in Fullerton, a low-income kind of gang area. And they thought, you know what, we're going to go and we're going to bring God into this community. Well, as 18, 19-year-old young kids, kind of naive, thinking they're going to go and do this, they were really overwhelmed when they first got there. And then they began to slow down a little bit and began to seek God and began to hear from people in the community, and they realized, you know what? God has already been at work in this community. We just need to get on board and figure out what he's doing. And when they did that, their ministry took off, and they're doing some really amazing things that I'll share about in a little bit. But they've had this huge impact because they were willing to see that God was already at work, and how do we partner with him? 1 Corinthians 12:6 says there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So we need to realize that God is already at work. And then second, we need to pray for our ears and our eyes to be open. Pray for our ears and eyes to be open. I believe this is a constant battle that people have been facing for a long time. It's so easy for us to get focused on what we're doing and the things that we need to get done that we miss out. We kind of have the blinders on to what's happening around us. I came across this verse in Ezekiel chapter 12. Shows that this has been going on a long time. When the Lord says to Ezekiel, he says, "Son of man, you are living among rebellious people. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people." And I think so often we see and hear what we want to see and hear. We just go through life through the motions sometimes. And Jesus says it this way in Matthew 13, 15 to 17. Jesus says, "For this people's heart have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And so for us, I think the challenge for us is to begin to pray on a daily basis. When we wake up in the morning, before we start our day, "God, open my eyes, open my ears to see and to hear what you have for me today." And I think as we do that and as we pray that prayer throughout the day, I think God places people and situations in our lives that he wants us to step into and to respond to. And it can be scary, but I think that's when we're truly alive in God. The Apostle Paul encourages us to pray continually. See, God gives us his power through his Holy Spirit. And Jesus says that with the Holy Spirit, we can do far greater things than even he did. And so we have this power in our lives. Yet what happens is our resistance holds us back in that. And so what we need to do is we need to pray, "God, not my will, but your will. God, open my eyes and my ears to see and to hear the things that you want me to see and hear." And when we do that, I believe he puts those people and those situations in our lives. And then third, when that happens, we need to step out and we need to trust God. And this is the hard part. This is where kind of the rubber meets the road for us. Maybe you've been in that situation where you felt kind of that tug on your heart, maybe that knot in your stomach of, "I need to go and talk to this person. I need to put myself in this situation even though I don't want to, and it's easier just to walk down this way and kind of keep my eyes focused on what I'm doing." We've probably all been in those types of situations. I know I have. And I know sometimes I've stepped out and I've said, "Okay, God, I'm trusting you in this, and it's going to be scary, and we'll see what happens." And there's some great things that have happened through that. And other times I know I've said, "Oh, I'm too busy, I gotta go and do my thing." And so I hope that we can be people who begin to answer that call when we feel it. As we're praying for our eyes and our ears to be open, when God puts those things on our heart, when you have those feelings inside, to step out and trust him. I think this quote kind of sums up what we're going for in this series as we're talking about loving our cities. It says, "To be the church, all we do is keep our eyes and ears open to the people around us and try to show them love in whatever way we can. And so that's what we want to be about here at Wilshire Avenue. We want to know that God is at work, and we want to have our eyes and our ears open to do what he has for us to do and to help meet those needs around us and to step out and to trust him and to love our community well. And there's some great things that I want to share with you this morning about what our church is already doing in this area. There's some great things that God has blessed us with and some great ministries that have started here at our church that we are doing to love our community. And I believe that there are many, many more. And so next week, Pastor Mark's going to talk a little bit about what are some of those things that maybe God's put on your heart that we're not doing, that you see as you drive around our community, that God has put on your heart that we need to be a part of here at the church. But today I want to focus on some of the things that we're currently doing, and maybe some of these things you have no idea about that we're doing, and maybe God's placing it on your heart to say, I need to get involved in that. I want to help out in that area. And so I hope this is helpful for you. The first one I want to share about is Love Fullerton. This is a community-wide service day that takes place. This is, I believe they've done 4 years of Love Fullerton, and there's over 2,000 people that come out in the community to serve. Many of you have been out there with us. We have specifically partnered with Orangethorpe Elementary School, which is a school in Fullerton here that we have worked with over there. This year, you see some pictures up there. We helped in their garden area. So you see young kids, families, all ages that are out there. We helped paint a classroom as well. And so we garden the whole area, put down the mulch and all of that stuff for them to have this garden re-beautified for them. But the past, we've done other projects as well. One of the biggest projects we did there was renovate their whole library. So a couple years ago, we packed up all the books, we did all the bookcases, painted all them, and they renovated their whole entire library. So been some great, great ministry that has taken place there. But that's not the end thing. This is a one-day community event. But what happened through that one day is God opened the door for other opportunities for us at that school. So now every year as well, in the fall, we put on a fall festival for their school. So a lot of the other elementary schools have their big fall festivals. Well, we found out that Orangethorpe didn't have one. And so we came in as a church and we helped to put on this fall festival. And we've given out, I don't know how many pounds of candy, hot dogs, popcorn, all of those things, and just been a very practical way to come in and love the community there. This year as well, for our church this past year, we also branched out in some other areas. So we worked at Orangethorpe, but we also had a group of people that worked at the Boys and Girls Club and helped to paint and do some renovation there at the Boys and Girls Club. We also had another group that went and helped make quilts for a foster care program, a summer camp called Royal Family Kids Camp, and they were able to make quilts for that. And so we're beginning to branch out in some other opportunities. And so this is a great way for our church to come together to serve alongside other churches in our community and love our city. There's also more service days with that, so it's expanded now more than just one day. So we'll let you know about those opportunities. Next thing I want to share about is our Heart of Downtown food bank that is located right over in our parking lot. It used to be an old bus barn. We had this bus that we parked in there. We called it the milk carton because that's what it looked like if you turned it up like that. The seats would fall off. It was a lot of fun. It was a great, great experience driving. I didn't get to drive it, but it was very scary. So we got rid of the bus several years ago, and we opened up our Heart of Downtown food bank. And a few years ago, it was open, and we were running it, and everything was going well. And then a few years ago, we took some time, and we actually decided we're going to close down for a little bit. There were some changes that were happening in the city of Fullerton, and we were kind of needed some time to really think and pray through, God, what do you want this food bank to really be about, and how do we best serve our community through this food bank that you've blessed us with? And so we took some time. I read a book that really challenged me on some of the best practices of food banks and how do we really truly love the clients that come to us. And so we made a few changes, and so now our food bank is open every other Sunday. So we're open today, 1 o'clock, we're over there, and we start setting up about 12:30. We're done usually about three or so. But being open every other week, one of the reasons we did that was with the intention that we're going to provide the best quality and better quality food for our clients. So before that, it was really easy to get food just kind of donated that, you know, Starbucks or Panera, other things like that, didn't want. So there's a lot of breads, pastries, other things like that that weren't necessarily the best for our clients to have. Many of them have diabetes or other issues like that. And so we decided we want to work hard each week to get the best quality food that we can. And so I'm happy to say now that we are known as one of the best food banks in town that give out the best quality of milk and dairy and produce, meat as well. A lot of food banks don't do meat, and so we've been blessed to be able to do that. And we also have a great team of volunteers that come out each time that we're there. Many of them are sitting out over in that area right there. So thank you for all of you that come out and serve in that. And what we've really tried to change is the atmosphere there at the food bank. And so rather than just being a place where our clients come, here's your food, okay, we'll see you next week, take care, we actually really tried to build relationships with the clients that come. And so our volunteers work really hard through that and doing that. We also have our prayer team that is out there. And so each week we gather in a circle, and you saw one of the pictures there. We're all circled up and we're praying and thanking God for the food that he's provided and that it'll help nourish these families. Another couple that has really stepped up, Mark and his wife, Louise, over here, that are here. They've come, and Mark gave me permission to share a little bit about his story. But he came first as a client to our food bank and came to receive food. And Mark's one of those guys that just kind of sees something that needs to be done and jumps in and does it. So very quickly, Mark kind of jumped in there and started helping out and doing some things, setting up the easy ups, all that kind of stuff, helping to organize food. I thought I was bad with like my OCD and my, you know, everything's got to be in order. Mark's pretty bad as well. He likes his stuff all organized. So he comes in. Sometimes, you know, I go in there now, I can't find stuff, but Mark knows right where it's at. But Mark and his wife have stepped up, and they are not only clients that come, but they're also giving back and they're serving. They go to different elementary schools during the week, three different elementary schools that they go and pick up food that otherwise we found out was just going to be thrown away. So all the milks, all the vegetables, because, you know, kids just come and they grab the chocolate milk and the pudding and they're out of there, right? So parents, you're buying lunches for nothing because we pick it all up. So anyway, all the milk, all the vegetables, all the fruit, all the leftover stuff, Mark and his wife go around 3 days a week and they come collect that, bring that to our food bank, and then we're able to give that out to families and people that are in need. And so thank you guys for that. Thank you to all the volunteers for all that you do. And so we'd love to get you involved in that and helping out and serving there. There's all kinds of different ways. We have kind of our top five needs that we talk about: peanut butter, jelly, canned meat, canned vegetables, and cereal, or canned fruit, no vegetables, and cereal. Those are kind of our big five that we really try to keep on stock. And so one of our members of the church, his family, went on our mission trip to Guatemala, the Ingalinara family, and they brought their young kids on the trip, and they help serve at our food bank every once in a while. And so Brian, he gave me permission as well to share this story. But for his 40th birthday, you know, when you're 40, what do you need, right? I mean, we don't need anything. So what Brian did for his 40th birthday, he said, rather than gifts or anything like that, please bring some canned food items and some things for our food bank. So I think we have another picture of that. Can you pull that one back up on there? This is from his 40th birthday party, all this stuff that people brought for his birthday. So just a really simple, practical way to love our city, love our community, and just kind of think differently there. So thank you to them for that. Another ministry that we're a part of and have been supporting is our City Lights apartments, which are right on Commonwealth. You can probably throw a rock and hit them if you got a good arm. But right over there, there's a Section 8 housing, which hosts about 140 residents that are there. And so all of them are on fixed income. Most of them are on food stamps. And so once a month, toward the end of the month, usually it's the third Thursday of the month, because by then a lot of them are running out of their food stamps. So we have the opportunity to come and help deliver bags of groceries to them. You can see them there. There's, like I said, 140 residents. There's four stories. There is an elevator, so, you know, it's a good workout as well, delivering all the bags. So what we do is we come, we take the bags, and we deliver them to each of the doors. We knock on their door. We let them know these are groceries from the church, and it's just a great way to love that community over there. And one story I want to share with you, I asked my son, Owen, permission for this, my youngest son, but last month when we went to do this, they were on summer break, so they were off school. So we do this on Thursday morning, so most of the time they can't help out with this project, but this week they were off for summer last month, and so we decided I'm going to go, our whole family is going to go help and serve and deliver this. Well, Owen, my younger one, he was a little reluctant, let's just say, to get out there. It was hot, I'll give him that. It was a hot day. About the only thing that kind of motivated him was I told him we get donuts beforehand. So that was about the only motivator. Other than that, he was pretty mad. Let's just be honest. He told me I could be honest. He was pretty mad. He wanted to rather be home playing video games or doing something, right, like a normal 10-year-old. And so we go, and he's out there, and we go up to the fourth floor, him and I. And so normally when we deliver the groceries, I would say maybe three or four of the residents will pop their head out. Oh, thank you, thank you. Every once in a while, we get to pray with someone, which is a great opportunity to do that. So I take Owen up to the fourth floor, and he's kind of grabbing like one bag at a time. You know, he's just like moping, dropping it, you know, going back, dropping it. Well, God was at work on this day because on our floor, there was at least 15 to 20 people that started coming out and just saying, thank you so much. Well, what this did for him was it just lit him up inside. Next thing I know, he's grabbing like six or seven bags of groceries, just carrying them. Oh, you're welcome, thank you. Knocking on doors, just helping people and serving and doing that. And it was such a huge thing for me to be able to see that and to see God at work in him and kind of change him from that reluctancy. Like I said earlier, maybe it wasn't where he expected or where he wanted to be necessarily, but that was where he needed to be at that moment. So just a really cool story that I wanted to share with you about that. Another blessing from City Lights that happened just recently as well, a couple weeks ago, after our last delivery, is we received a check to our church, a tithe check, from one of the residents over there. Now, remember, this is a Section 8 housing, fixed income. And they wrote a check to us with a note that said, thank you so much for what you do for us and the food that you bring to us. It really means a lot. And they just sent a check in to our office. And so God's doing some really, really neat things through that ministry over there. Another one that we're a part of is our Orange Thorpe Backpack Program. And this is through an organization that we partnered with a few years ago called Giving Children Hope. And what they do is each week they pack a backpack full of food for kids who are designated as homeless. And so what that means is they either live in a car, they live in a motel, or they live in a family, a home with more than eight people. And so food is very scarce for them at times. And so during the school year, they're on the meal program, so they're able to get a hot meal at breakfast and lunch. But then over the weekend, they don't have a lot of food for their family or for them. And so what we do is each week we pack a backpack full of food for them. We have the opportunity to pray over that backpack and to meet those kids on Friday when we go and we deliver the backpacks to them and build relationships with them. And so that's a wonderful opportunity for families. I get to do that with a family from our preschool. They have a young preschool kid who comes with him and his brother and the dad and mom, and we pack the backpacks with them during the school year. And so any of you that want to get involved in that stuff as well. Solidarity is another ministry that I mentioned earlier that was started by some friends of mine that we support here at Wilshire Avenue. And they're doing some great things in the community with at-risk youth. And so any of you that are teachers or people that have those kind of gifts of mentoring and those kind of things, they are in huge need of people to help. God has blessed their ministry so much that the schools are now calling them to help run after-school programs. This summer, they're doing a program called Soulful that is at the schools where they don't have summer school, and so kids are able to come, and they provide summer school and tutoring for them. And then OC United, is another ministry that we've been working with and has just started up the past few years. And we've been able to partner with them. They're one of the organizations that put on the Love Fullerton Serve Day, as well as so many different other opportunities in the community to get involved in and to serve. Our own Victor and Camille Hernandez, I'm not sure if they're in here, but they're around. They have their OC United shirts on. They are working with OC United, and they moved in to a community, and they're loving that community and serving in that community. And so if you're looking to get involved, please talk with them as well. And so these are some of the things that, as a church, that I wanted to share with you this morning that we're doing already. And maybe there's some of these things that God's placed on your heart that you had no idea that we were doing some of these things, or maybe you knew that we were doing some of these things, and maybe God's calling you to step out and to maybe get involved in some of these things. I believe God has truly blessed a lot of these different ministries, but also I believe that God may be putting some other things on your heart as well. See, we see certain things as we go, but there's other things that you may see in our community that we're unaware of. And so next week, Pastor Mark's going to be sharing about that opportunity, that if there are things in your life that you see, passions, things that God's put on your heart that we need to know about here at Wilshire Avenue, that we can better love our cities, we want to know about those things as well. See, several years ago, we asked ourselves the tough question as a church, that if we were to close our doors as Wilshire Avenue, would people notice? Would the community really know or even care if we closed our doors? And we wrestled with that question for a while, and we began to pray and we began to seek God, as I said before, what are you doing in this city and how can we partner with you? And I believe we've aligned a lot of these ministries to that, and we've been able to meet some of those needs, and God is blessing. And I would say that, yes, now the community would know for sure that Wilshire Avenue is not here. And I pray that it stays that way. And so if any of these areas this morning are speaking to you or you're looking to get plugged in, please send me an email. I'm going to post this on our Wired at Wilshire as well, some of the different opportunities that are out there so you can pray and begin to look at that. But you can send me an email, Brian@Wilshire Avenue, and I'd love to get you plugged in and connected to helping to better love our cities. What Jesus said to his disciples many years ago is still true today, where he says in Matthew 9:37, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in this city. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our community here. God, I thank you for all those that serve and all those that have served. Father, for the way that you want to use us to use the gifts and talents and passions that you've given us, Lord, to reach those in our community and the world that you've put us. And so, God, we know that the harvest is there, and Lord, I pray for each of us that we can begin to step out. God, that we can begin to trust you. Lord, that we can love our city and see our city the way that you see it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.